Westminster Weekend up next on Abounding Grace Radio. Join us. Pastor Chris Gordon, and on behalf of the Linden United Reformed Church, we bring you Westminster Weekend.
Thanks, Chris. Hi, this is Scott Clark for Westminster Weekend. Today, Pastor Chris Gordon joins us for part two of our discussion about the state of the evangelical church in the Pacific Northwest, about the megachurch movement and the related emergent movement, and how we should think and talk about such issues. Hi, Pastor Gordon. How are you?
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Welcome back to Westminster Weekend.
Thank you.
All right. Last week, we were talking about a series of blog posts that you wrote at christopherjgordon.blogspot.com back in February and March, which you entitled Going Off-Roading. And in those posts, you described your sort of off-road adventure as you went outside the confines of your congregation to visit a local megachurch, because you had been engaged in a discussion with some people about this movement, this megachurch movement and contemporary evangelicalism, and they had criticized you for really not knowing what you were talking about. So you went to find out. And as you described last week, what you found out or what you discovered was a worship service which looked more like theater, more like entertainment than worship. And we talked about why that is and how that came about. When we confront this sort of thing, we really have two different paradigms. And if you're talking to someone who's in an evangelical megachurch whose service is oriented, as you described, around entertainment with the purpose of drawing people in so that they can be won for Christ. What do you have to say, Chris, to try to persuade someone that that is the wrong way to go and there needs to be a different approach for winning people to Christ?
Right. Very good question. As I said last week, what particularly troubled me about the service was really what I believe is manipulation. It's not dealing with our real problem. It's not dealing with our problem as sinners and our need for the gospel, our need for the righteousness that we cannot achieve ourselves, the need for Christ's righteousness. And there's a sense when you come to these services that our great need is just to have a better life. Our great need is just to fix some temporary problems. And so, as I said last week, it has just become a tonic to avoid the real problem of our sin, and the problem that sinners are under the wrath of God and need a Savior. And so what I would stress to someone who's coming to these sort of churches, what is your purpose in coming? Why are you coming? To be entertained? Or are you coming to sit under the Word of God and be nourished with the words of life? Are you coming to have a preacher tickle your ears, or are you coming to be given, as Paul called it, Christ and Him crucified? What is our objective? Why are we coming to be fed with these words, or to be entertained? And that's why I left off last week with and made this mention of the necessity of having the creator-creature distinction. That has to be there, the great attribute of God's transcendence. He is not one of us, and that's something that I did not get a sense of in the worship at all.
Chris, aren't we really talking about two different definitions of what constitutes evangelism?
Yes, absolutely. Well, and I think there's this presupposition, this idea that when we come to worship today, that evangelism's not really taking place. It's for those really bad sinners out there. And when we come into worship, this is about us being uplifted and about us just being helped for our journeys. And that is contrary to what we believe really happens in the preaching of the gospel, that the preaching of the gospel is the announcement of this righteousness that we cannot achieve ourselves, and this need to be continually sustained on that bread, on those words of life. So, yes, it's a wrong understanding of what we're doing when we come to worship. What our need is as sinners, and where God meets us in that need, is through the proclamation of His Son.
As you and I are discussing this problem, this question, this issue of what it means to worship God and what it means to announce the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection to a lost world, someone may say to you and to me, you Reformed people are always critical, always negative. Don't you have anything encouraging to say? Don't you have anything uplifting to say? How do you respond to that criticism, Chris?
Well, I think of something that R.L. Dabney said years ago, and you can understand, when you have a statement like this, why we have to be critical. R.L. Dabney made this very powerful statement that many people will be in hell because they cannot distinguish between animal instincts and genuine religious affections. It's just it's a mind-blowing statement, and it's a powerful statement. The good news of the gospel is that Christ shed His blood, gave His life, and freely imputes His righteousness to all who believe upon His name. That is good news. That's what we announce in Reformed churches. But when we look and we see things going on, and we see these pressures to pull away our young people, and these pressures that our own people feel to be entertained and manipulated, we have to speak out. We have to speak out because we care. We have to speak out because we long for these souls that are in these very false forms of worship that Paul talks about in the book of Colossians, self-imposed worship. And since it is unbiblical and false, we're merely doing our reasonable duty by exposing the error and giving the positive into that. Come and hear the good news of Christ and Him crucified. So I would counter it by saying Reformed churches, historically, if they're doing their job, are giving the best news to this lost world. They should be preaching Christ, and we are. That's our calling. So that's my answer to that.
You're listening to Westminster Weekend. I'm Scott Clark, and we're talking with Pastor Chris Gordon, and we're talking about the state of the evangelical church and the megachurch movement and related questions about the emergent church movement and how biblical Christians, Reformed Christians, Christians who value the Word of God as the sole authority for faith and life, and Christians who value the Reformation tradition of proclaiming righteousness with God by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, how we should respond to contemporary evangelicalism. And when we come back after this break, I have a question for Pastor Gordon, and it is this. Can't the more traditional reformational churches learn anything from the more contemporary evangelical congregations? And he'll answer that question when we come back right after this. In the 17th century, John Bunyan gave us the character Mr. Valiant for Truth. In the 20th century, God gave us another Mr. Valiant for Truth, J. Gresham Machen, the founder of Westminster Seminary. The spirit of Machen lives on at Westminster Seminary, California, where for 30 years we've been fulfilling his vision of training men for ministry and preparing them to be expert in the Bible. WSCAL.edu, 888-480-8474, Westminster Seminary, California, for Christ, His gospel, and His church. You are a pastor of a fairly traditional Reformed congregation. You're in the Reformed tradition, rooted in the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century. You're a confessional congregation. You confess your faith in formal ecclesiastical documents. And that's your understanding of the Word of God. And you're trying to carry on this way of approaching God in public worship and a particular way of viewing the Christian life and piety, that is our relationship to God, and the way we live that life out, our practice of the faith. But we live in a world, particularly in North America, which is largely dominated by another way of thinking about things and doing things. And so, and the truth is, we are a minority in this broad evangelical culture. There's something like 60 million American evangelicals, and we make up, just a tiny little fragment of that. So can we learn nothing from our broader evangelical brothers and sisters? Or are we only in a position of tension with them?
Well, I think we have to begin by asking, what are they reacting against? And some of that, we have to be willing to say, it's fair to understand what they're reacting against and what their concerns are. A lot of what we're seeing today is probably given birth and birthed out of some of the legalistic fundamentalists churches of the past 20th century that were heavily focused on just laying down a bunch of rules for people. And that backfired in their children. They rebelled against that. And then you come through the 60s and you see the next generation that is pretty much through with that approach of their parents. Why do we do this? We've always done it this way. And now they are looking for spiritual life. And so they have thrown out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak. They are now searching for life in really unmediated just feeling, apart from the Word of God. And so we have to understand what their reaction is to, a sort of stoic lack of joy in understanding the gospel, which should be life-transforming for people. So from that perspective, I think we have to understand what they're reacting to. That being said, that does not mean that we should sit back and accept their answer to that, which is to simply deny the historic Protestant Reformed Christian faith, which has given us a rich heritage defining of what worship is, how we are to worship God. The Word of God is to be the focal point of our churches. Those things have been cast aside, and that is what we're reacting to. We're calling people back to this rich heritage that we've been given of gospel-centered preaching, Christ-centered preaching, the Word of God having the central place, God glorifying simple worship that exalts Him according to what He has commanded and not according to our own will worship, not according to what we think gives us life, because that's a slippery slope.
Chris, can we admit and agree that we in the Reformed churches have not always lived up to the ideal that you just described?
Yes, and I think we have to be willing to look introspectively at us, look at our practice in life and in Reformed churches, and ensure that we are following through on the implications of what we confess. That there is to be a real joy in this gospel that is given to us, an assurance of faith. And as we go forward in this, that people should see that we have found this great pearl and that we want others to have it, that we're not a closed bubble that is only focused on us, but that we long for the riches of the gospel to be advanced to the ends of the earth, and that people should see that joy in us and want to have what we have.
Is it the case that the Reformed churches, as they exist today, really are all that starkly different from what you have discovered as you've been going off-roading and visiting the broader evangelical megachurch world?
The sad reality is that many of the Reformed churches have followed the same sort of paradigm that we are just discussing here on this program. They have felt the pressures, they've caved into those pressures, and they have wanted to adopt similar styles and modes of worship that their evangelical churches next door are doing.
That's it for Westminster Weekend. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us again next week, same time, same station. Find us on the web at wscal.edu or call us at 888-480-8474 or email us at weekend@wscal.edu.
Westminster Weekend was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. Join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times on the Lord's Day. You can visit us on the web at lindenurc.com or you can give us a call 360-318-0429. Thank you for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.